The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Good afternoon, Rolien.
Well, good afternoon, Robin.
Isn't it cool? You never know what you're going to get.
Yes, you never know. But I'm here as well. And a very good afternoon to you, Rolien.
We'll play show roulette. How about that?
I like that idea.
Fantastic. So, Rolien, we believe that the fun and games begin as President Herzog is beginning consultations with party leaders about forming a government. What do we know about these meetings that took place today?
Well, the president is back from COP27 in time to receive the official election results from the Central Electoral Committee. And he said today that on Sunday he will likely tap Netanyahu with the task of forming a government. However, in the next couple of days, he will be meeting with various party heads. And he took a little bit of flack because he is purported to have said that, you know, he favors a unity government. And there were some elements who hit back at him. But he says, you know, this might be his opinion, but he will leave it up to the political system to decide. And just moments ago, we had a comment in from Yariv Levine. He is one of Netanyahu's most trusted deputies from within the Likud, who has said that we will make every effort to form the government as quickly as possible. We also have heard from Bezalel Smotrich of Otzma Yehudi earlier today. Without giving too many details, he said we are moving significantly forward in forming a government. What that means, we don't know. But as you say, the fun and games begin. And
keep the
get
popcorn.
Out your bingo card, everybody. Let's see who slots in where and how soon we will have a government.
Amazing. And yesterday, Yisrael Batenu MK alluded to Likud sending emissaries to meet with party leaders who are likely to form the opposition. What did she say?
Well, this was a very interesting comment because she said that the Likud are trying to send emissaries to various other party leaders and other parties being the parties likely to form the opposition. So that would be Yesh Atid, that would be the party headed up by Benny Gantz and Gideon Assar, called New Unity, and Yisrael Biteinu, and one or two other small factions. And she said that Netanyahu realizes his massive mistake by cozying up to the far right and just what a problem they are. And this could be his way of trying to assuage that, you know, trying to look at other parties to dilute the fears and the anxiety that people have over the fact that we do have these extreme right-wing elements in the government now.
Sure. Fascinating times. And in other news, we saw the Gutta Institute and Israel's foreign ministry went head-to-head in a battle of words yesterday. What happened there?
Well, this is just the mind boggles type of story. So the Goethe Institute, which is a German cultural institute in Tel Aviv, scheduled for today, which happens to be the anniversary of Kristallnacht or Reichspogromnacht, as it's known in German, a event that was called Grasping the Pain of Others, Holocaust Nakba and German Remembrance Culture. So basically, it kind of drew parallels to remembering and having empathy for survivors of the Holocaust and the Nakba, which is what Palestinians refer to the creation of the State of Israel as a Nakba, as a catastrophe. That's the direct translation of the word Nakba. Now, of course, this was met by disbelief, not just from Israel's foreign ministry, but from the German government as well, who said that this is absolutely untenable, that this is an embarrassment and this cannot happen. The foreign ministry spokesperson Emmanuel Nachshon said Our position is that the event is a disgrace and should not take place on any calendar date, not just the anniversary of Kristallnacht, and that he expresses his shock and his disgust for the blatant disregard for the Holocaust and the cynical and manipulative intention to create a linkage with those whose sole purpose is to defame Israel. A German lawmaker called Frank Müller-Rosentritz said that it is absolutely a scandal. We must not allow that under our foreign cultural and educational policy, attempts are supported to link the commemoration of the Holocaust and the Nakba. Now, this all falls under what IRA, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, definition of anti-Semitism is. And Germany is a major signatory, a major architect of the IRA definition. So it is just an absolute mind-boggling turn of events. Needless to say, after that response from the German government and from the Israeli government, the event has been postponed.
Unreal. It's quite amazing. It makes you very proud to be a Jew that 84 years after the event, there's still so much passion, so much remembrance, and you know, so much commemoration. We spoke to Rabbi Schachter earlier also about Kristallnacht. So now that you mention it, today is the anniversary of Kristallnacht. Maybe explain to us a little more what happened on that night.
Well, first of all, let's just look back at the imperative of bearing witness and remembering. And now more than ever, we have to be a witness, we have to teach the next generations, and we have to educate. So Kristallnacht was an event that took place on the 9th and the 10th of November 1938 in Germany and German-occupied territory and annexed territory like Austria and the Sudetenland, where the Nazi Party basically gave free rein to their members and to citizens to burn synagogues, to loot and destroy Jewish homes, Jewish-owned businesses and shops. Women were beaten and raped, and over 30,000 Jewish men were rounded up, and so began the process of deporting them to concentration camps. And it is believed that this was the seminal event that would bring in the Holocaust, humanity's worst genocide, the genocide of over two-thirds of European Jewry. And today it is an absolute imperative that we take these next 2 days to really educate ourselves about Kristallnacht. I've said it before, and I'll say it again and again and again. The Holocaust was not built on gas chambers. It was not built on death marches and murder pits. It was built on words. It was built on discriminatory and anti-Semitic deeds, like calling for the boycotts of Jewish businesses. Today we see for calling of the boycott of Israel and Israeli-owned businesses. And you know what they say, those who do not learn from their history are doomed to repeat it.
Sure, absolutely. And it seems this year is even more important than ever. I think we go through so many stages since then and through history. Why do you feel this year is more important to remember this Kristallnacht event?
This year, and particularly in the last couple of weeks, we have seen a tsunami of anti-Semitic hatred unleashed on Jewish communities around the world. And it doesn't matter if it comes from the far right, like we've seen in Charlottesville with Jews Will Not Replace Us, to the shooting of Jews in synagogues, to the beating of Jews in the streets, to the defacing of cemeteries, or if it comes from the far left, which is the denial of Jewish peoplehood, denial of Jewish national liberation, and our identity as Zionists. It all comes from words. We've been speaking about it for weeks. The problematic and devastating words coming from people like Kanye West with his 30 million followers who water it down as a mental health issue, to Kyrie Irving and his conspiracy theory against Jews movie that is being sold on Amazon, to the repugnant hatred that is spewed out on social media. You know, as Jews, we cannot leave the work for a few people to do. We all have to be responsible in fighting back against growing anti-Semitism. And we saw what happened 84 years ago. We see the same type of rhetoric now. We cannot be silent in the face of hatred.
Absolutely. And just thank you again to Rolene Marks for the Israel Report and for joining us this afternoon on the show. Thank you.